Hey, everybody, it's me here, Michael Franti, on the Stay Human podcast. Man, we are super excited because we've got a new album that is coming out. It's called Work Hard and Be Nice. 17 songs, that's right, you heard it, 17 songs filled with optimism and stories about how we get through challenging times and still hold on to our humanity. We can't wait to get back out on the road with you guys, so stay tuned to all of my socials. You'll get the information first about when we're going to be touring next. In the meantime, enjoy all the songs on the album, Work Hard, Be Nice. You can Spotify it. You can stream it all over the place. You can download it on iTunes. You can even get the CD from michaelfranti.com. So check it out. Hey, this is Michael Franti here, and welcome to this episode of the Stay Human podcast and my special, crazy, amazingly talented guest today is Paul from St. Paul and the Broken Bones. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Good. What is your name, your real name?
My name is Paul.
Paul.
I am Paul. My name's Paul Janeway. So
Paul Janeway.
Yeah, so I guess that's my legal name.
Okay. your legal name. Your barely legal name.
I hope it's pretty legal. I'm married, so.
Okay, good. Well, tell me about that. You know, you tour a lot. I mean, I see you out on the road all the time. Festivals and you know, theaters and everything. And what's it like being married and touring?
Well, I mean, I think for me, it's not a terrible thing. I you know, I'm a bit of a homebody, surprisingly, yeah. You know, and so I like being home. But it's just one of those weird things where you're like, I also love doing this and performing, mm-hmm. and so you try to find that balance. I mean, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do in the world. No. But the good thing is my wife she's a associate director of an honors program at a college.
Oh, well.
So she's a lot smarter than me.
Nice.
And
that helps.
That helps a lot. So I think the good thing is, like, she has her thing that she does, and I have the thing I do.
That really makes a difference because then when you get together, you have something that you're sharing with each other.
Like, right.
Oh, here's what I'm doing in my life. And if someone's just waiting at home for you,
right.
It's really hard to be that person who's just waiting. And so where do you guys live?
We live in Birmingham, Alabama.
Nice. Is that where you grew up?
Well, I grew up in Chelsea, Alabama.
Okay.
But nobody knows where the hell that is.
And is that like a tiny speck on the map?
It was 800 people.
Wow. So it was 800 people. Yeah, is the population growing or decreasing?
It's grown a little bit. But it's when I was there, there was a stoplight and a chicken feed store. And that was downtown.
Yeah, that was downtown Chelsea, Alabama.
So I grew up there, and then
So tell me about that. So you're growing up in Chelsea, and would you hang outside the chicken feed store, or what would you
bizarrely,
do?
Bizarrely, you know, and I feel like in communities down the South, mm-hmm. like that, church is the epicenter.
Yeah,
and so I grew up singing in church, and like if the church doors were open, since I was about 4 years old, I'd go in.
Yeah.
You know, just fell in love with it, that's what I thought I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as your worldview kind of expands, you kind of figure out, well, maybe that's not the way for me, you know? Maybe I don't believe.
Was there a song that you loved in church? Was there like one song that was like your greatest hit? Church's greatest hits?
Ooh, I mean, there's a few, man. There's still some I hear, you know, It Is Well With My Soul. Anything About a Storm.
Can you sing like a little bit of one?
Peace like a river attendeth my way, you know.
Nice.
I love it, man.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, but I grew up singing, you know, I love those songs. Anything About a Storm and trials and all this. I still to this day, man, I listen to I Stood on the Banks of Jordan or the Mighty Clouds of Joy when they do I've Been in the Storm Too Long, man.
Why? What is it about storms that fascinates
you? I don't know what it is. I think for me, it's like I always kind of have this chip on your shoulder, you know, growing up where I grow up and people assume things and I always kind of feel like I'm ready for the storm, you know, I'm trying to fight it, and you're like, and I find that, you know, I think, you know, when you're trying to figure out who you are and your identity and those things, I think that's a difficult thing.
You know, I read a lot of songs that are also just about challenge, you know, whatever it is in life. It's one time I was with George Clinton, and I was talking about the funk, and he said, you know, the funk is just the blues
sped up.
Right.
And it's like, you sing the blues, you sing your story of what you're going through. That's the hardest, you know, things, the most painful things in your life, saddest right. things in your life. And then when you sing it, it's like you let it go.
Right.
And then you can speed it up and you can celebrate then afterwards. And I see that in your shows. You know, yeah. I see that mix of like, of tortured love, of celebration
yeah.
and of elation. And so at what point did you go from singing church music to not church music?
I mean, was when I was about 18, 19, you know, you kind of fall out of love. You know, you start, mm-hmm. your worldview starts expanding. And
yep.
and so I started doing open mic nights. And wow. I didn't think I was much of a singer. And so I'd go play a new guitar, and I could sing. And so yeah. I was like, man, getting a reaction out of these people. I know I'm not a decent guitar player.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a mediocre guitar player. And a mediocre piano player. So I was like, man, must be something. So I just kind of continued, but it's a wild story, man. I was working at a mechanic shop as a gopher.
Wow.
And I lost my job when the crash happened. And mm-hmm. I thought, man, I want to make music. It was therapeutic. And, you know, you have other things happen in your life that you feel like are, you know, you need that therapy. And my buddy Jesse, who's the bass player in this band, we got mm-hmm. together. And my life was kind of doing, you know, kind of going up,
yeah.
you know, and after I'd gone back to school or whatever. And so we get together, make a little recording, and it turned into this band. It was kind of wow. a last hurrah.
Wow. So was he interested in, you know, soul music, or was he just a kid with a bass who was like, whatever you want to do, let's get down, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was his philosophy. He heard my voice, and I sing the way I do, and it's just the way I sing, you know.
Yeah.
And so he was like, all right, well, you know, maybe I should write music around your voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. So I'd never really done the band thing. I'd been in church. Yeah. And so he, so that's what we did. And that it's kind of, I'm still like, still really feel new to this though.
Yeah.
We've been,
how
we've
old
been,
are you now?
I'm 33.
Okay. So, yeah, and, so you're still.
Yeah. And so we've been a band for 5 years, but I still feel wow. like I'm, you know, new, you know.
I
like,
remember seeing a video of your guys about, must have been like 4 years ago, so I must have just seen
right.
it when it's just popping off, and I was like, wow, this is really, really great. I mean, I grew up listening to like Stax, you know,
right,
and you know, Al Green is like one of my favorites.
God,
and
yeah,
and, you know, it was a really funny story. One time I was playing on this TV show in England, and Al Green had been on the show the week before, and I go up to this guy who was one of the techs there, and I shake his hand. He goes, I don't know if you want me to shake, you know, want to shake my hand. He goes, I'm not feeling so well. I got this cold. And I go, that's all right, man. I'll shake your hand. He goes, you know, I got this cold last week because Al Green was here and he had a cold.
Oh, man.
And he was blowing his nose. And I was the guy who had to like take the tissues. And I was like, you got Al Green's cold?
Yeah.
I want that. I want Al Green's cold.
100%.
If I can just get like a little bit of whatever's been in his voice, whatever germ was 100%. There, give it to me.
Give it,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who are your artists growing up? Like, who did you really?
Oh, I mean, so, you know, we'd listen to church music. My mom was pretty strict about what I listened to, mm-hmm. and I didn't rebel, you know, so we had a little bit of church music, but the soul music was the thing that kind of, yeah. she just, for some reason, it's this odd thing, but we listened to, like, the Stylistics,
yeah.
and Sam Cooke,
nice.
and Otis Redding, and it's been, that's what I listen to, man. You know, and obviously now, like, we're such in a world with the internet and everything where mm-hmm. you can listen to anything you want.
Yeah.
And that's fun to me. Yeah. That's fun to me. Like, that's what's been really great. But I always feel like I'm playing catch up
because
I didn't grow up with
right.
the Beatles or the Stones
right.
or any of that kind of stuff. So I'm caught up. I feel like I'm caught up to a degree now,
yeah.
but there's still like holes in my catalog.
Yeah.
And so,
you gotta,
so that's fun.
You got to get into your EDM next, and you got to go classical, then you got to go.
Yeah. I don't know about the EDM thing. I don't know if I can handle that.
No, I think, man, I could hear your voice on top of a really hot beat. I mean,
what's crazy is to try that a little bit,
yeah.
but, you know, and you know, it's not a world I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
No,
so
I know
like,
what you mean.
And like, you know, I'm slowly
yeah.
giving up, you know, like
yeah.
slowly like, all right, maybe I'll try something.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast. A few years back, my wife Sarah and I decided that we would start a nonprofit with the intention of bringing people with advanced stages of life-threatening illness, children and adults with special needs, and wounded veterans to see any live concert by any artist in any city in the world. And from that, Do It For The Love was born. If you have a friend or family member who needs music in that way, just write to us at doitfortheLove.org, and we'll make sure to get them out to see any concert in any city by any artist. Do it for the love, y'all.
You know, yeah.
Do you write the songs in your band? Write lyrics?
I write the lyrics, and I write, you know, obviously, you know, some of the, you know, all the vocal melodies, yeah, and things like that. And I mean, me and Jesse typically, I mean, but for me, songwriting, and it's hard to, because there's a lot of ego involved, mm-hmm, you know, but I've learned that if you surround yourself with really good musicians, mm-hmm, that, you know, and you try and kind of glean what they have, yeah, that I feel like you might be better off. Mm-hmm. And we just learned that through our process. And so I like that. I like that style. I still get a little like, no, that's the way, yeah, I want it, you, yeah, know. And but I don't know, man. It's an interesting process. It was kind of buffet style.
Yeah. Do you have a certain way that you write? Like, you pick up a guitar, or do you write lyrics all the time, or does it just come to you in a stroke of
in the storm?
You just get struck by lightning, and here it comes out of my lips.
It varies. I mean, I obviously, I'm as a vocalist, I'm always going to hear things vocally.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if something hits me, I'll be on, you know, I'll put on my iPhone, or right, having a recording device, like,
yeah,
I have ideas.
Isn't the iPhone just so great for that?
I think it's like, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
just in the bathroom.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. And yeah, so I do it that way. Or, you know, if I'm reading something and something like strikes me, and I'm, mm-hmm, like, all right, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
I try to always, there was a guy, Lonnie Holly, who's a folk artist,
mm-hmm,
and he opened up for us not long ago, and he's constantly an artist.
Yeah.
Like, so he uses material around him and, wow, makes it into art. And man, it was so inspiring, because I feel like that's how we should be as musicians, yeah, as artists, is like always
absorbing,
always absorbing.
Taking
it
in.
It was really, he's a genius. And so I was like, I kind of feel like that's always, like, it's, the door is always open.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to what we do. So I try to be as creative as I can and always kind of keep it in.
Yeah. What's the first thing you remember from being a kid? Like, the very, very, very first thing? Chelsea, Alabama.
I remember Mary Poppins.
And wow.
I remember getting in the chimney and trying to...
That's awesome.
And my mom,
how far did you make it?
The problem is I got soot all over the carpet, and everywhere.
Whoa.
My parents were just so mad. As the first house that they,
wow,
lived in, and,
wow,
and I was sitting there as a kid, you know we grew up in a trailer and then got into a house, and I come, yeah, in there and start stomping soot all over there. But I'm going to say she whooped me.
I'm going to say you deserve
it. Yeah, I'm going to say I deserve the whooping. I got it.
Disney. Just blame Disney.
That's
Disney.
Yeah.
They corrupt kids from a very early age.
They do.
So what's the next things for you guys? You guys are constantly writing, and in addition to touring? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we are in the process of writing another record, and it's all, you know how it is, like, mm-hmm, always on the road, and you, yeah, feel like, all right, when I get off, yeah, the road, I gotta go right.
Yeah,
I'm not very good at riding on the road. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you are.
You know, it's hit and miss on the road.
Yeah, on the road, it's, yeah, hard for me.
I feel like I start a lot of things, but I don't finish them.
Right. There's not any finishing. There, yeah, might become an idea, but,
yeah,
but writing, you know, starting to write another record, and you know, it's funny, you know, I have been called to, like, hey, come sing on this, mm-hmm, or sing on that, and I've been experimenting with that, which is kind of fun and different. And so just, yeah, man, that's just keep going. Just keep on trucking,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Nice. So as a band, what are your aspirations? Like, does your band feel like we want to do other kinds of music, or this is just our groove that we're in, or do you guys constantly stretch out? Or?
Yeah, I always want the musical palette to expand.
Yeah.
You know, I think, As long as you're true to yourself,
mm-hmm,
and true to what you do, I feel like that's the most important thing, is to kind of expand the music palette. And for me, also, another thing is, like, I won't, you know, success is not a bad thing, mm-hmm, as long as it's on your terms.
Yeah.
You know, you're not having, yeah, to, you know, whatever, put a Budweiser sign around, you, yeah, know, or whatever, yeah, on whatever. So I think that's important. And, yeah, and I think that's kind of the end goal. So, I mean, man, the goal of the band was to sell out a 200 cap venue.
There you go.
In Birmingham, Alabama.
You can die happy.
Years ago. And I was like, so from there, it's like, well, all right, it's gravy. Nice, you know? So nice. That's kind of my position.
You know, you guys wear suits on stage. I got to ask you this, because I sweat like you know, it's nobody's business.
Yeah. On stage.
And I'm, you know, I get at the end of the night, I'm rinsing my shirt out in the sink, or our tour manager's stuck doing it or whatever. Right. At the end of the, and then we hang it up on the bus, but you can't really like rinse out a suit.
No.
So tell me about like, how do you deal with the wet, sweaty suits?
Well, I have three that I rotate.
Okay.
But they get pretty.
Do they have names? They must have names.
Oh man. They're walking at this point. I'm hoping they can last me till October. But, okay. You put it in the wardrobe. We have a wardrobe case, which I thought was something we'd never get, but you have, you know, dryers in there that takes the moisture out, and you try to, spray it. Apparently vodka.
Vodka
gets the smell out a little bit. Don't ask me.
Maybe if it smells really bad, you're supposed to drink the vodka forget about the smell.
That's it. Awesome.
Well, man, it's been awesome getting to know you a little bit. I love your music. I'm a big fan. And for anybody who's never seen you before, you know, your shows are just so dynamic, and they're full of love. They're full of passion. Of, like I said before, like this tortured soul music, but done in a very elated way. There's humor mixed in.
Yeah.
You're a great dancer. You know, this dude is like, he's like everything, man. This guy is like, he's like Michael Jackson. And, but the shows are just super fun. And so I recommend very highly, if anybody is ever, you know, sees your guy's name pop up, you know, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, go out and make sure that you see the show.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been awesome to be here, man, with you.
Awesome.
It's really cool to share the stage with you, and I look forward to doing it.
I don't think it's the last time we're doing it.
No, sure. Maybe we'll do a song together sometime.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'd love that. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Hey, everybody, this is Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast, and I've traveled all throughout the world, and I've been to many inspiring places, and one of my favorites is Bali. I fell in love with its people and nature the first time that I came here in 2007, and at that time, I had a dream to build a place that was dedicated to music, soul, and wellness. And from that, the Soulshine Bali Hotel was born. It's my boutique hotel located in the heart of Bali, surrounded by beautiful rice fields and the most incredible sunsets that you might ever experience. We do over 50 retreats a year, or you can just come here and spend a night on your own. So follow us on Instagram @SoulshineBali.